Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter which translation of Sunday's epistle you read, the beginning words of Romans 12 come out pretty much the same. I beseech, I entreat, I appeal to you, I beg of you, and so on. Let's use the word beseech, the King James translation for this morning. There's something about its seldom used, almost mystic quality that fits in well to the thoughts for today. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Let us observe that beseeching comes pretty naturally for most of us. When you think of life's relationships in which we are all involved, we find that beseeching, exhorting, begging, appealing to one another, particularly to those we love, is something that we often do and often experience. Parents beseech their children. Husbands and wives beseech each other. The government beseeches its citizens. Employers, their employees. Pastors, their people. Teachers, their students. And yes, even presidents, their colleagues and close friends. It seems to me that there are times when beseeching one another is particularly appropriate, and when we are all tempted to do a great deal of it. As I was worshiping in church last Sunday, thinking about the events of this week and of the years that lie ahead for you and for me, my heart, like the heart of other persons called to do a different job, a different ministry for the Lord, was wondering about all of the beseeching I want to do. And I'm getting a lot of beseeching from a lot of others these days, too. The list is almost endless. I would beseech you, my colleagues, my friends, my students, to greater faithfulness in the service of the Lord and His church, to greater dedication, to greater love for the truth of God and for God's people. And the list is endless. Even on academic and theological terms, beseeching one another to greater quality in what we do as we serve the Lord, and so on. In short, it occurred to me that what we beseech one another to do in a situation like this is very much what the Apostle commends to his congregation in Rome in chapter 12, Sunday's epistle. Nothing less than that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But this morning, I would not lay even those words on you, for the Apostle has done it so well. I would like to focus not on the what of beseeching, but on the how and the why. It's a remarkable beginning that the Apostle makes in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What does the therefore refer to? It refers to all that has gone before in this magnificent epistle, exalting the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the justification of the ungodly by faith and not by works. It has in mind particularly the 11th chapter, where the Apostle has talked about God's unbelievable mercy toward His chosen people, the Jews, and the even greater mercy of God in bringing also the Gentiles within the scope of His redemptive love and grace. And he concludes that chapter with those magnificent words about our God. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, because of the God who is everything for everyone for every time. And then to drive that point home, those remarkable words, by the mercies of God, I beseech you. are many ways to beseech, even within the church. We beseech one another because of God's commands and God's demands. Or we beseech one another because, es steht geschrieben, it is written in God's book. Or we beseech one another for even lesser goals and reasons than that, because it's the tradition of the church, or we've always done it that way, or because of the expectations of others, the church, mothers, fathers, congregations, faculties, and the like. Or we hold before one another the tremendous needs of the world and the goals of the church in meeting those needs, and we beseech and exhort one another. This morning I would lay on your hearts and ask you to continue to lay it on mine, that Christian brethren beseech one another by the mercies of God. Dia ton oikermon tu theou. The Apostle Paul could have used a host of other reasons, but he did not. The basis, the ground, the rationale, the cause of all of his beseeching, for these tremendous goals that he had for his people, nothing less than that they present their bodies a living sacrifice, that each one in the body of Christ perform his ministry according to God's gift. All of that by the mercies of God. That's an important phrase. It's an important fact. In fact, it's so important that it simply cannot be categorized as important. It is quintessential for the Christian faith, for the Christian theology, and for the Christian ministry, that you, as you prepare yourselves to be exhorters and beseechers and proclaimers in the Church of Jesus Christ, have front and center, before and behind, above and below, all that you think and do and say, the mercies of God. And lest this be just another exhortation to do your exhorting by the mercies of God, think together with me one more time this morning, and never tire of thinking of it again, of those mercies of God. That phrase immediately conjures up for all of us something about ourselves, poor, miserable sinners, pitiable people. People who stand only because God supports us and holds us up. People for whom and to whom God has been and is merciful. But the apostle doesn't even appeal to some abstract quality in God. It isn't by the mercy of God, it's the mercies of God. Those tangible acts of God which display his Father's tender and forgiving heart. The mercies of God which reach their climax in the sending of his Son to be our flesh, to live our lives, to meet the demands and commands of his law, to accept our punishment for our sin, our separateness, our rebellion against God, to rise triumphantly from the chambers of the grave and proclaim to one and all that because he lives, we shall live also. Who sends his Spirit into hearts that are recalcitrant, stony, cold, rebellious toward God, and by his mercy brings us the adoption of sons, so that you and I, undeserving though we are, call him Father, even as children call their earthly fathers Father. Those are the tender mercies of God. There is no other basis for our existence in the church, no other ground for our exhorting of our people, no other way to do theology. And so on this day, let us together remind ourselves that God's mercies are the center of all that we do. Let us praise him anew for those mercies, even as we pray that he will help us to keep the mercies of God central in all that we do and are, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the sake of the church and world whom we serve. In Jesus' name, amen.